The following is a duplicate of Tape 1, Side 2 of an interview with Dr. David Lee, conducted for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Dr. Lee, besides enjoying dancing, what other recreations do you do?
That's about all. I'm interested in studying Spanish, learning Spanish in the Mandarin, but I haven't been doing much of that lately. Mm-hmm. I just do walking, jogging, dancing.
How often do you walk or jog?
Oh, I walk or jog every day.
Every day? How many miles could you do?
Oh, about half a mile.
Half a mile? Mm-hmm. That's not enough.
No, that's not very much.
Now, then you mentioned you made two trips to China. The first time I realized you went to study. When did you go for the second time?
About 3 years ago. I spent a month in Hong Kong.
3 years ago, that will make it 1977.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. And why did you go the second time?
I just want to see what has happened to China since I was there as a student.
Did you get to go to the interior of China?
No.
Mainland?
No, just stay in Hong Kong, in Kowloon.
So, would you like to go back to China, to the mainland this time?
Yes, if I have a chance. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't mind, I would like to know approximately how much is your income by the month?
About 3,000, well, about 4,000.
4,000.
I have 3,000 a month for my professional income, and then also I make about 1,000 a month for my investments. And I used to have some apartments which I sold, and I had money coming in for that.
Of course. Do some doctors make more than that?
Oh, yes. Most of them make more than that. No.
But in your case, you don't care to make more, right?
No, not especially.
Did you tell me you had two offices?
Yes.
One is in what?
Los Angeles, one is in West Covina. Mm-hmm.
How often do you see your family?
About once a week. I suppose you mean my Chinese family.
Yeah, your family. Yeah.
I go up there to pick up mail every week and give the children allowances.
And you still have a very close contact with your family, even though the youngest one is over 18.
Yes.
Then legally, when they're over 18, you're not bound to have to support them, right?
That's true, but I still support one of them. Mm-hmm. That was under the terms of the divorce.
So,
One of them was mostly disturbed, so for terms of the what we consider him a child, so I still could support him. But even though he's 24 years old, he's no longer a minor.
Mm-hmm. Is he in school?
No, just sits at home and look at TV mostly.
Now, this, did he finish college?
No, he went 1 year and then dropped out.
Mm-hmm. And the doctor thinks it's best for him to just stay home.
Well, no, I think he should try to work for them. He has a very short attention span. He gets tired working, so he quit.
So, have you made any plans for him for his future?
Well, I try to get him to go to psychotherapy very often. I think he's still going.
So, you mentioned about going to see your children once a week and to pick up the mail. In other words, you go to the family home.
Yes.
To pick up the. Is it in Los Angeles?
In South Pasadena.
Other than that, do you see them in any other capacity?
Yes, I go out with my son, go dancing with my son every Friday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
See, being emotionally disturbed, he doesn't have many friends. He doesn't know how to make friends. So my ex-wife and I took him out. My ex-wife usually dropped me off at movie theater, and he usually go dancing with me on Fridays.
Do you have anything else to say, Dr. Lee?
No.
something more about your young life, your profession. What is your aim now in your profession?
I enjoy my work, so I'm going to keep on working. And I'll have saved enough money so that I can stop working if I feel like it.
So,
and of course, I have to keep on working in order to continue to support my ex-wife and my present wife.
Now, the present wife, that is the Spanish-speaking one. I see. Now, is the Spanish-speaking one is different from this one? That
yes.
Oh.
No, that's her there.
Oh.
She won't change flowers.
That one is also divorced?
No. We just separate.
Oh, just separate.
I'm still married to her.
Oh. But you still have to support her.
I give her partial support. She works also.
Well, then, of course, you have your work, you have your family to keep you busy.
Two families.
You are a very busy man. You don't play mahjong at all?
No. I find out going dancing and seeing Chinese movies and walking and jogging.
How often do you go dancing?
About five nights a week.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What kind of dances do you prefer?
Mostly slow dancing. What they foxtrot and things like that.
Oh.
Once in a while, I do some what they call disco dancing. But it's very tiresome, actually. Jumping around is very tiresome. You do more than half an hour of that.
But doing it five times a week will give you a lot of exercise.
Yes, it does.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So, Dr. Lee, do you own the office that you are now in
no,
Figueroa?
I sold it recently.
No, this one?
Yes, I sold that.
Oh, I see.
I'm just renting it now.
Oh, I see. Then how about the one in Covina?
I rent that one also.
Dr. Lee, about on the average, how many patients do you see a day?
Well, let's see. Today is 40. Most convenient. Average about 40
a day. Average about 40 a day?
Yes.
Oh.
Some more than 40. Sometimes more than 40.
I see.
Sometimes less. Average about 40 a day.
I see. 40 a day. And
more than 40, but
uh-huh.
I think average about 40.
Do you have more patients in Covina or in this Figueroa office?
I think I'm more in West Covina.
All right. Then, does every do you have any bed debts?
No.
Well, are most of your patients government on Medicare or Medi-Cal?
I don't have any Medicare patients.
Why, you don't accept that kind?
No.
Why is that?
In order to help people lose weight, you have to motivate them. If they're not spending their own money, they're not motivated, and they don't try to improve eating habits, you can't help them.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, another thing is, perhaps reducing weight is not the Medicare, the government doesn't recognize that, right?
It would, but nobody has applied. But most people realize that it doesn't bother the person's pocketbook, they're not motivated, they don't get a good...
Uh-huh. Now, then,
also the government's, also most people, most doctors realize that a lot of people get in the bad health dependent on the pills, or they call psychological dependence. And if they don't have to pay for it, well, they keep on coming all the time. You can't keep, you have a difficult time keeping people from coming to the office to get pills whether they need it or not.
Mm-hmm. So, your most of your patients are coming for reducing purposes.
Yes. All of them are.
Oh, all of them. Mm-hmm. Then, how long does your treatment last usually?
Oh, average about 3 months.
3 months. And may I know about how much you charge per treatment?
I charge $15 for the first visit, and then I've got $7 a week.
Oh. How often, when they come for 3 months, does it mean they come every day?
No, they just come once a week.
Oh, once a week for only 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Once a week for only 3 months, and I think you're charging very reasonably.
This is quite low. It's a lot.
Very, very low. Mm-hmm. Oh, 15 for the first visit, and then thereafter only what?
Seven.
Seven. Oh, that's very, very low.
That's why I want to make $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of doctors must have $5,000-$6,000 a month.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, that's very low. I think our office call now costs much, much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, then,
I could buy with what I have, so I'm happy.
So, do you consider you are very successful in this reducing?
Not especially.
Why is that?
I know a lot of doctors make more money. So.
No, I don't mean making money, but helping the patient the way they came in for.
Yes, I feel that I'm successful that way.
I see.
As far as making a lot of money is concerned, I don't think so. I make a lot of money.
How long did you start going into mainly for reducing?
About 20 years ago.
20 years ago? Oh. Then you have a lot of patients then. You have had a lot of patients.
Yes.
So what percentage do you consider that you are successful in?
About 60 or 70%.
Why only 60 or 70%?
Weight reducing is not like a type of fever or venereal disease when you just give a shot and then the person gets it well. It's more like cutting out tobacco, cutting out alcohol, cutting out. It involves changing a living habit. That's very difficult because it depends mostly upon the willpower of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the doctor does is give guidance. I mean, if you go to the doctor to say alcohol is the thing, keep on drinking alcohol, the doctor can't do very much good for you. I mean, because as soon as you finish taking the pills, you go to the bar and you get some more, and then all the person can do is maybe lessen your desire for alcohol a little bit. And the same with the smoking. I mean, otherwise, 99% is up to the patient himself. And that's the most difficult thing to try to motivate people to try to help themselves.
Mm-hmm, I see. So in other words, in this reducing business, part of it depends upon the individual.
Yes, mostly about the individual.
The cooperation from the patient, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I mean, if a patient is willing to follow diet, they don't have to go to a doctor even.
Mm-hmm.
They do just as well, join Weight Watchers or follow a diet on their own. The function of the doctor mostly is taking people's money, so they're motivated to try a little harder to help themselves.
Mm-hmm. Now then, would you mind tell me roughly how do you go about taking care of a patient to reduce? Suppose I come to see you, I want to reduce 10 or 20 pounds, what would be the first thing you do?
I take history and find out whether eating habits are such that they are able to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have such poor living habits, they can never lose weight no matter how you try, and I tell them that. But if I think I can help them, I can just go ahead and give them medication for a week and an injection and a diet slip form of philosophy, write down what you eat.
So your treatment includes medicine and injection?
Yes.
I see.
But medicine and injection not doing the good, the person is not trying to improve the eating habits. So.
I see.
So that's a very big if.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you take all kinds of reducing patients?
No, not all.
What are some of them that you don't think you want to
It's not advisable to take people with diabetes or high blood pressure, or people who are alcoholics, or people who are taking and drugs of some type, habit-forming drugs of some type. Or people who are irregular living habits. I mean, suppose a person on regular half 3 days and on a day shift 3 days, when they're rotating shifts, it's really would be impossible to help something like that.
Well, why rotating shifts then?
Well, you can tell them to take a certain number of days, certain hours, and then the shift change, but then there's they can't take the pills, but they're sleeping those hours, so it's very, very difficult.
Then do you ever help anyone without medicine, just on the diet?
Yes, I sometimes do.
Oh.
I may have to do that in the future.
But right now you use both.
Yes.
Medicine along with a diet.
Yes.
You probably have many, many happy patients then.
Yes. They're happy. They're not always happy because of losing weight. Sometimes they're happy because the pills make them feel good. That's that's a bad part of my work.
How come your medicine make them feel good?
The appetite pills are also stimulants. And sometimes people take stimulants because they want to pep up.
Oh. You mean the appetite, to reduce the appetite, that kind of pill makes them feel good?
Yeah. What they call, in street language, they are known as uppers.
Oh.
They make them feel an up. Oh. And a lot of people come in, not they're saying you're losing weight, but this is what I get the pills. The government, of course, very much against that, so they jump on the doctors and impose all sorts of regulations on them to prevent the doctor from prescribing too many pills.
Have you ever been, shall I say, bothered by the government checking up on you? I know a lot of doctors have.
The California started clamping down on doctors' prescribing habits. I mean, they prescribe too much for a person who obviously not getting any benefit from their mother.
But unless the patients go and report, otherwise, how does the government know?
Well, that's true.
Hmm?
The government has about 150 agents who pretend to be patients and go to the doctor.
That's right.
The Board of College of Insurance is that. There's no longer any Board of Medical Examiners, mostly organizing to buy doctors, help doctors. The Board of Medical Quality Insurance now is more consumer thing, and they think that the doctors' habits are harmful to people, then they jump down the doctor. That's why there's so many doctors that get in trouble. But a lot of times, doctors prescribe tranquilizers for too long a time, some doctors may get in heavily dependent on tranquilizers instead of trying to get rid of their problems, and then
mm-hmm.
they have their license revoked or mm-hmm. suspended or something like that.
Well, so I think you're doing very well. You, in spite of the trouble that the government is giving people, you seem to be.
I try to make a living. Right now, I have to give up my license to buy this type of medication. That's why I probably have to. In the future, I may have to go on a diet alone. So the pills I'm getting now is not as strong as the pills that I had before. And a lot of patients are unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, as you know, that come and get the pills just not because. Of course, they can feel good, see. But they're not very strong, they're not very happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it goes in any kind of business. There's always...
It's all have to tell the government regulations.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, but...
Right now, government's clamping down on doctors' prescribing habits, so...
Yeah, I read in the newspaper about it. Well, then...
I'm sure that I just read in the newspaper about... They closed down a doctor in... Los Angeles Chinatown because he was prescribing a lot of people are not examining them or not.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call it? Indiscriminate prescribing.
Yes. This man from Taiwan, I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think he's finally in jail or something.
No, I haven't. That's what I heard. That's what I saw the ad in Monterey Park paper. I mean, it opened up office there.
Well, I'm going to let Sue Ellen, of course, listen to the tape and most likely she'll say that I have forgotten to ask you a certain phase of your history, and I may have to come back, and in that case I will let you know. And
all right.
Otherwise, for the time being, I want to thank you. So
this is the end of the duplicate of tape 1, side 2 of the interview with Dr. David Lee.